fathers, mothers, children, grandchildren, grandparents, co-workers, friends, loved ones, gone. So my cousin Lloyd was coaching his son's soccer team, and he lives in New York. He worked in Manhattan, and I remember him telling the story about one of the boys on his soccer team. His dad disappeared that day. His dad died that day, and so we're to remember today. How can we not? It 21 years ago, we saw the worst of humanity, and in many ways, we saw the best of humanity, of heroism and people running toward danger and trying to help people, and at the same time, people murdering people, Islamic extremism. So, would you pray with me today? Before we enter into this, we just need to pause. The Bible says, weep with those who weep. You know, there are families who are remembering this day. Little boys that are no longer little boys remembering their dad being taken from them in days like this. Many families. Father, we just want to join the prayers of many families who on today have really bad memories. For those of us that saw it from a distance, many people saw it very close, and their lives are forever changed. And really, all our lives have been forever changed. But Lord, somehow continue to love and bless this country and help us to protect our freedoms and the liberties that we have here in the United States of America. So Lord, we join our country in mourning today, and really the families that have been forever changed. So Lord, we just want to pray for this. We do take the time today to do this now in the name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say what? And amen and amen. So by the way, my buddy Zach, who called me, he's now an air marshal. His job was created because of what happened 21 years ago. He now flies on airplanes to protect people. And you don't know him because they don't say air marshal, but they're there to protect. So the world forever changed in that day. And then, yep. Okay, so how about this one? Have you ever tried to do any form of house remodeling? Anyone in here ever tried to do a kitchen remodel or a house remodel? Have you noticed it's quite expensive? So I remember many years ago, my wife. So we've lived in our home since 2002, and we had linoleum floors. And she was always saying she wanted tile in our bathrooms. And there was a really neat brother in the Lord, a guy named Mike Byram, who was in our church. And he told me that he did the tile floors in his bathroom. And he said, well, Pastor Frank, I'll help you put tile floors in your... I have no idea. He came over to my house. And he showed me how to put tile in a house. So wet saws and all these little, like, you know, things that you use to measure, and you put it all in the grout and everything. And he helped me. I'll never forget the day. See, I always think of my brother Mike, because whenever I'm in the bathroom, I'm looking at this, I always think of him. And he helped me, came alongside me, walked alongside me, and showed me how to do the tile in bathrooms. And after he showed me that, I went upstairs, and I did her upstairs bathroom. And so I think of Mike all the time. And the sad thing is that our brother Mike, he moved a couple of years ago to Atlanta, and he died last year of COVID. He was one of the casualties of COVID, as he's now with the Lord. His wife Julia and his daughter Nola, they all moved back to Georgia, and then he died. Like, they didn't even live there, I don't think, over a year. But I always think of him. I needed help, and he helped me. Question for you. In the last 30 months, have you needed help? In the last 30 months of what we've lived through, have you needed help? Because I have. I've needed a lot of help to try to understand what was really going on in the world and to get good data to make good decisions, to try to get a handle on truth. This has been my journey of the last 30 months. I needed help not to lose my mind in the last 30 months. I needed help to find perspective and to find strength. See, in the last 30 months, I needed a lot of help. In the last 30 months, did any of you in here need any help? Did you know that you had help? So, Did you know that in these last 30 months that you actually had a divine helper in your life, guiding you and leading you, and probably in many ways, why you survived as well as you did, and I survived as well as I did, is because there was an individual that dwells within me that was helping me on this journey of the last 30 months. So Jesus, the night before he died, he knew that we were going to need help. And then, so the night before Jesus died, he's up there in the upper room with his disciples. And he begins unpacking an incredible teaching. He begins telling his disciples that he's leaving them, but he's sending a helper into their life. And he pretty much assumes that we're going to need help, and he already acts on our behalf, and he's going to send a help to us. And he begins speaking about a helper, a divine being that's going to come and help us. We're beginning a new series this Sunday, and it's called The Holy Spirit, Our Helper. Any help? Anybody need any help? And we're going to begin to talk about this helper, and we want to kind of unpack who this helper is. And in this series, we're going to be talking about who the helper is, that's today, and how the helper comes inside of you, that's next week. We're going to be talking about how do you walk with this person in helping this person, how does the fruits of this helper be manifested in your life. We're going to be talking about the power that this helper brings into all of our lives. We're going to be talking about the certain giftings that he gives us in helping us to serve Jesus better. We're going to begin this series, and through this series, we're going to be having people sharing testimonies of how this helper has transformed people's lives and done miracles and incredible things. So we're beginning a brand new series today called The Helper. See, so who is the helper? When Jesus speaks of this helper, who is he? And this is going to be more of a theological. We're going to start I need you to get this. And then we're going to every Sunday we're going to begin unpacking more practical things. But somehow I have the incredible task today of trying to help you understand the Trinity. The Trinity. So listen to this. So the night before Jesus dies, he begins talking about someone that he's sending to come into our lives to help us because we're going to need help. Now, I just want to read these verses. So imagine it's 2,000 years ago, you're in the upper room, it's late at night, and Jesus starts saying these things. So I'm just going to kind of read a few of these. I want to start in John 14, 15, 17. So check 15 through 17. It says, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. That he with you forever, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not know him or does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. John 14, 26, John 15, 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. He. John 16, 7 through 15, but I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the rule of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I don't think they could bear it then, to be honest. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has given me, therefore I said that he takes of mine. He'll disclose all these things. He, him. Do you get it? Do you hear Jesus? Do you hear him? And you can see the disciples going, wait, you're leaving us? I bet it just went right over there. You're leaving us? It's really good that I go because I'm sending some. What? Who is this? Take note to me this morning. Very important you get this. The Holy Spirit, our helper, is a person. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. 20 times Jesus calls him a person the night before he died. And so when I was a brand new believer in the Lord, when I would think of the Holy Spirit, I always thought of Star Wars because I grew up, you know, I'm thinking of the Force, you know, some kind of force to be used. But then as I began to learn and understand, the Holy Spirit's not some force, he's a being. He's not a force to be used for our purposes. He's a divine being to be understood and yielded to. See, he's the third person of the triunity of the Godhead. Deity. Jesus says, another one is coming of the Godhead. Another. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, deity. Many theologians have said that the whole mystery of it all. And speaking of mystery, the Apostle Paul, the Rabbi Saul, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, 1, Paul says, let mankind regard us in this manner as servants of Messiah or Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We're called to be stewards of the mysteries of God. There is probably no greater mystery of God than God himself. And we're called to be stewards of this mystery. It's interesting when Jesus comes down off the Sermon on the Mount and his disciples was asking him about Elijah and John the Baptist. And Jesus says, if you can handle it. And Jesus tried to, I've always looked at that like, Jesus is sitting there going, if you can handle it, I'm going to give you some data, but I don't know if you can handle it. I've always smiled at that. If God wants to communicate to you something, sometimes there's such mysteries that it's like we try to get a handle on this stuff. There's no greater mystery than the nature and the person of God himself. Do I hear an amen? Okay, according to the scriptures, how many gods are there? One, right? One. How many gods do we Christians believe in? Answer? One, right? One. Do this. Everybody do this. One. See, the Muslims think we worship three different gods. We worship one God. One God. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6, it's called the Shema. It's the battle cry of monotheism. Hear, O Israel, Moses says this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is, everybody do this, one. The Lord is one. One. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. It's called the Shema. Jesus quotes this as the number one commandment. Love God. He's one and love God. It sounds simple, doesn't it? Mystery. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Genesis, Old Testament. Then God said, let us make man or mankind in our image according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the fish and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, him male and female. He created him. That's mankind, right? Who is God talking to in Genesis 1? When he says, let us make man in our image. God was talking to God. the plurality of the Godhead. I remember my professor, he called it inner Trinitarian communication. I thought that's beautiful. Inner Trinitarian communication. Like, okay, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Have you ever talked to yourself? I think I got some here. I don't know if you can see this one. Do I got a picture? Of course I talk to myself. Sometimes I need expert advice. I like that, don't you? You ever talk to yourself? Of course I talk to myself. Sometimes I need expert advice, right? People, God was talking to God in Genesis, and yet there's only one God. Who is God? Who was God talking to in Genesis 1 when he says, "Let us make man in our image"? God was talking to God. The plurality of the Godhead. See, people, God is one in essence, and yet there's a plurality of the Godhead in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And they are perfect in harmony and unity of relationship of oneness. Jesus speaks of this oneness when he commands us to go and baptize, right? When Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28:18-19, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me after he's arisen from the dead. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Mystery? Mystery? It's interesting. You read in Isaiah 6, it says that the angels are in heaven singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The Lord, but there's this triune. When Aaron, the Aaronic blessing, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you, three different times, three different holies, three different times. And yet there's only one God. How you doing? Y'all doing okay? So let mankind regard us in this manner as good stewards of the mysteries of God. There's no greater mystery than the nature of who God is himself. And see, now let me don't let this Trinity thing confuse you too much, because the fingerprints of God is all over his creation. I want you to take a quick look at you. How many of you are there? One? It's only one of you? Check right now. Take a quick check. How many of you are there? One. Okay. So what happens to you when you die? When Queen Elizabeth just died, where did she go? In the ground? First Thessalonians 5:23, the Apostle Paul says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you are there? One? But the scripture describes you in three persons, of body and soul and spirit. And yet you're one. Can you explain that? You are one, made in whose likeness? God's. Mystery. 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 Have you ever heard the prayer, God, help me be the person my dog thinks I am? Have you ever seen this one? I think I got that one up there too. Have you ever heard this prayer? God, help me be the person my dog thinks I am. Lord, help me be the person my dog. Have you ever done that before? So we have a beautiful little dog. Her name's Rosie. And so, actually got a picture of her. Isn't she cute? Do you see her? That's our little dog, Rosie, and I just woke her up, so she's got one eye kind of popping out there. So the problem is the Winans had three sons, and poor Cinda needed something that was not like, she needed a dog that was a cute girl. And so we decided to bounce out with Rosie. And man, when we come home, she's so excited to see us, and we're home, and we're happy. It's so sad, like, whenever we drive up, she's always waiting in the window, waiting for us to come home. And when we get home, she's so stoked to see us. Theologically, does my dog have an eternal spirit? See, my dog is body, and there's something moving my dog's eyes, and there's personality with my dog. She is just the coolest animal. She barks at me when I feed her. She licks me when I'm petting her. But theologically, does my dog have an eternal spirit? No. There's no eternity in my dog's heart. But God has put eternity in your hearts. See, you are made in His image. Jesus died for your sins. He didn't die on the cross for my dog's sins. There's a distinct difference in the creative order. You have what's called a spirit in you, an eternal spirit that only mankind has. It's a spirit. You are body, soul, and spirit. And I can try to help you understand it, but even this is a mystery. See, God is a mystery. We made in His image are a mystery of body, soul, and spirit. We are both material and non-material oneness. How you doing? Who's the helper? This helper, the Holy Spirit, is the third person of the Trinity. That's note number three. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's a person. It's interesting. There's a story in the book of Acts when Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property and they were going to bring it to the disciples, but they were lying. They said they got this much for it and they want to make this. It's all kind of like lying to the IRS. I don't know what it was. But Peter's like, why, when you sold this, it's yours, why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You can't lie to a life force, by the way. Some force. Lying to a person. And keep back some of the price of the land. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's a part of the third person of the triunity of the Godhead. It's who He is. You need to meet Him. I will send another. He, when He comes, He. You need to know who the person is that Jesus is sending into your life to help you. Okay? By the way, this person is known as a person of great power within the triunity of the Godhead. In the Old Testament, in Zechariah 4:6, it says, Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. There's power in the spirit. Jesus, at the age of 30, leaves his father's carpentry business, goes to the Jordan River, and there he's baptized. And there is where the Father, behold my Son, the Holy Spirit, the triunity is found in the baptism of Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It says that from that moment when the Holy Spirit came upon him, Jesus' ministry began. In Luke 4:14 it says, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread throughout all the surrounding districts. Jesus in the power of the Spirit, that's when he began his ministry of healings. Miracles, as the Holy Spirit was upon Jesus. And it's interesting, just FYI, Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you will have power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit is associated with power. There's a great verse in Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity. God hasn't given you the Holy Spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound thinking or discipline. The spirit that dwells within you is powerful. Actually, it's the Greek word dunamis. It means dynamite. Dynamite. You will have dynamite. So this person, you need to meet this person that's supposed to help you and has been helping you. This person is the third person of the triunity of the Godhead, and he's incredibly, this person is filled with incredible power. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit was active in the Old Testament in creation. Take notes on that. It's just good you know that. That's in Genesis 1 and 2. It says the Spirit moved. The power of the Holy Spirit was active in the Old Testament, falling on people to do miraculous things, like in the book of Judges, like 14:6. So many times the Holy Spirit would come on people and they'd have power. Samson had power. You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit is associated with power and inspiration. The Holy Spirit fell on people and in power helped the prophets write Scripture. Scripture. I want to show you 2 Peter. It's a great verse. 2 Peter 1:21, and then I'm going to show you what Jesus said to his disciples. But the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter 1:21, "For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." No kidding. When you read the Old Testament and all the prophecies of Jesus, and then he fulfills them 700 years later, hundreds of them, how did they know that? How did Isaiah, writing Isaiah 53, know that the righteous one is going to be pierced, scourged, flogged, silent before his accusers, a grave with wicked men, yet in a rich man he takes away? Isaiah's writing this going, I have no idea what I'm just written. The Holy Spirit was inspiring and writing through Isaiah. These are human authors, but it's written from God, and that's how God can tell you what's going to happen 700 years before it happens. Isaiah doesn't know it, God knows it, but he was the human agent through which the Holy Spirit... No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Jesus tells his disciples the night before he died in John 14:26, but the Helper, he's telling them to his disciples in that room, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Has anyone read the Gospel of Matthew? Matthew wrote the Gospel of Matthew. The Holy Spirit helped Matthew write the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The Spirit was at work. Jesus says, John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Has anyone ever read the book of Revelation? Who wrote the book of Revelation? John was the human author. Who wrote the book of Revelation? The Spirit of the living God. The miracle of prophecy. The Bible's just a book written by man. You're right and you're wrong. There was a human agent. But that human agent was filled by the Spirit. And the Spirit was speaking. God was speaking. This is inspired. God's inspired word. Moses wrote, yes. Who told him to write? Was he just making it up? Men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. God speaks. Actually, the Holy Spirit is the inspiration of the Scriptures. Does that make sense? Is this cool? Check this out. The night before Jesus is getting ready to go hang on a cross to take away our unholiness before a holy God so we could be with a holy God. Jesus went to the cross and takes away all our sin and shame and guilt before a holy God. He prepares us to enter into a holy place because you can't do it without Christ. Jesus came to help you by taking away your sins on the cross. Jesus says another helper is coming from the Father. And when he comes, it's actually good that I go because I'm sending him to you. And when he comes to you, he will reveal to you truth. He will bring to your remembrance things I tell you. He abides with you, but actually he's going to come and live inside of you. Does that sound kind of personal? Imagine a spirit dwelling within you. He abides with you, will be in you. That's next week. Jesus, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't go to heaven. What? And he begins teaching on the Spirit. There's mystery in all this, people. John 14:6, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Some translations will be counselor or advocate. It's the Greek word parakletos. Parakletos, everybody say parakletos. Ah, the Greek word parakletos, which literally means a person summoned to one's aid. A person summoned to one's aid. A helper summoned to one's aid. Does anyone need any aid here? See, Jesus, in his great wisdom, looks at you and says, you need aid. I'm sending you a person summoned to your aid. And the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples. He falls on all of Jesus' disciples. The parakletos. Parakletos. He's a helper. Does anyone need help? I just finished a series last week. We talked about pause. Pastor Frank went on a sabbatical. Jesus said, come in the boat with me to a quiet place and let's get some rest. And Jesus took his disciples out of ministry on the shoreline, brought them in a boat, and he had them just get balance back in their life. Jesus says, come away with me to a quiet place and get some rest. And when you read in Mark chapter 6, that time was precious. It's time to get refocused and to get balance and perspective. But the disciples didn't live in the boat for the rest of their life with Jesus. He took them back into the world. He took them back to the shore. I've been thinking about this because, you know, as you get back into the world, Jesus is like, there's somebody that's going to help you on the shoreline go live your life. There's a divine being that I've sent into your life to go help you in life. Because on that shoreline, you need someone summoned to your aid. Anybody need any help? Has anyone needed divine aid in these last 30 months to help you discern truth, to help you recall the wisdom and the promises of God that He's given to you? Have you had a need for divine aid or power to transform you to be more like Jesus and less like you? Does anyone need help in life beyond the grave? Like my brother Mike, who helped me do the tile on my floor. He died of COVID. He's coming up on 1 year. Did he need a person summoned to his aid to take him into eternity? Anyone? Anyone ever read Romans 8 through 11? We'll be talking about this in this series. But if the Holy Spirit, this is what it says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who indwells you. What power rose Jesus from the grave? The power of the Holy Spirit rose Jesus from the grave. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave dwells in you. Queen Elizabeth, God bless Queen Elizabeth, amen. Did you know that Queen Elizabeth said, she goes, I hope that the Lord comes back in my time because I would love to take my crown and lay it at his feet. Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth was radically touched by a young man named Billy Graham back in the 50s. When Billy Graham went to England and he was doing crusades that just rocked England after World War II, Winston Churchill was shocked at what was happening in these stadiums, and he actually summoned Billy Graham, and he had some very deep conversations. Billy Graham preached to Winston Churchill. If you ever read the book, Just As I Am, there's sections when Billy Graham would talk about this. The Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, summoned Billy, and the meeting was only supposed to be an hour. It was like the whole day. And all they did was talk about. And she's supposed to be like in charge of the Queen of, or the Church of England. And here's this American sharing with her the gospel. And she, they became very good friends. And her faith just grew. Hey, go check out her Christmas message that she gave in 2020, 2021. She preaches Jesus, man. She's. Did you know that the Queen of England needed aid this week? She needed a little help. Even the Queen of England needed some help this week. The Parakletos. A person summoned to one's aid was a part of her entering into eternity. Does anyone need help? I'm here to tell you, we're beginning a series on the Holy Spirit. Who is he? He's the third person of the triune of the Godhead. What? Yeah, I know. One God in three persons. Be good stewards of the mysteries of God. FYI, you're in three parts yourself. Explain that. Body, soul, spirit. My little dog has a soul. It doesn't have an eternal spirit. But you know what I'm doing when I get to heaven? I'm asking God to bring Rosie, because I'm not sure God's going to go, here you go, Frank, whatever you want. You know, hey, Rosie, we're in eternity. All her teeth will be back, and she'll be happy, and no more, like, cataracts on her eyes. She's going to be, I just know it. Anyway, she's duality. The way she doesn't have an eternal, there's no eternal spirit in my dog going, I can't wait for eternity. But God's put eternity in your hearts. The Spirit of God. Does anyone need help? Well, he's here. He's totally here. He has been here. He's here now, and he will be here. Jesus says he'll be with you forever. That's a long time, people. The Spirit comes and dwells within you. Next Sunday, we're going to have a great time in quiet times, in core groups this week, in growth groups this week. Have a great time in small groups this week as you begin to try to, Jesus is trying to teach us something in the upper room about another one coming that's deity. But there's only one God, I know. He says it's really good that he goes because he's sending him to you. It's to your advantage that he has left. Because the Spirit now will come and dwell with you and be in you. And we're going to talk about that next Sunday. Jesus knew that you needed help even before you even realized you needed help. You and I need a lot of help. God has sent you a helper. I pray that you would get to know this helper a lot better. That you would understand who this helper is that's helping you. That you'll come to a deeper meaning of what this is and what the Holy Spirit does in our hearts and in our lives. What is his task, his purpose in your life and mine? So welcome to a new series. May we all learn. Father, I lift before you my brothers and my sisters in this room today. And Lord, we ask God that you would just help us in these next weeks, in this new journey that we're going on, as we begin a new series on the Holy Spirit A one summoned to our aid, a person summoned to help us, to be a counselor for us, to be an advocate for us. Lord, help us in this series. And God, I pray that as we journey in this, that we'll find hope and strength and power. I pray that as we walk in this series, you'll put a smile on our face. Lord, I pray that you would change the way we pray in this series as we understand more deeply the triunity of the Godhead. May our prayers become more theological, more accurate, more truthful as we grow in knowledge of the Holy One. Spirit of the living God, come upon us and help us to understand truth, I pray, for the glory of the kingdom of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say,